Chef Michael Anthony of Gramercy Tavern gives the short version of how he earned his stripes and became the chef of one of America's finest restaurants, and it's not what you might think. Michael was in Tokyo studying Japanese and managed to score a job in a most unexpected place.
It was actually a French-Japanese restaurant, and I got lucky. A friend introduced me to this chef. The friend was a guy who wrote the food column for the Herald Tribune at the time and the English newspaper in Tokyo.
Right.
And the chef's name was Shizu Oshima, a woman who had great training, worked both in Japan and in France at a very famous restaurant in the 70s, came back to Japan and opened her own restaurant, which in Tokyo, that was unheard of. So not only to have a head chef that was female, but also a business owner, she was a very tenacious person. I spoke just enough Japanese to show that I wasn't going to be a nuisance. Along the way, she decided that she was going to show me that working in a kitchen wasn't all that fancy a job. She was going to test me, and she really kind of beat it into me that, you know, the kitchen's a tough place to be, and it's not for just people who want to show off and hang out for a little while. And she taught me to love the kitchen for all of the right reasons, actually. I worked there for about a year and a half, and it was a tough apprenticeship. She taught me things and said things to me that I repeat almost every day. Right. You know, things like, think about the job through before you start. Choose the right tool for the job. Pick the right pan. You know, it's Friday night. Get your butt down in the grease trap and scrub it with a hand brush because that's your job. So I learned the basics of good organization in the kitchen. I learned you have to take care of a kitchen for it to continue to operate. And then along the way, she taught me some really, you know, good basics to being a good cook. This particular Japanese chef opened some doors. And this is the thing, is that, like, as roughly as I was treated in her kitchen, she followed up with me and came to Paris twice to make sure I wasn't screwing around. She introduced me to some influential chefs. And so when I showed up, I signed up to go to a vocational school in Paris, which is the way most kids get into the restaurant industry in France. So when I showed up, I got into school, and she came over initially and introduced me to a chef named Jean de la Venne. This was a man who was, I saw where the brutality came from, and he was a very tough person. It was late in his career, and he was essentially the chef of a smaller restaurant. But when I showed up in Paris, I was going to school, and I would leave school and go and spend 3 nights a week in that kitchen, peeling things and trying not to, you know, to get hit. I was scraping. I mean, it was really tough to put together the dollars to do this. And I was paying back loans from my undergraduate degree, and I was not paid in that job. So it was a privilege to get to show up and peel potatoes. So I had a chance to go to school and finish school. And through school, the great part about the school was that it was guided by the Chamber of Commerce of Paris. And along the way, I met people that built small bridges for me and opened doors. And so I was able to do a couple of externships. And then from those externships, I started to build a network of cooks around the city. And I found a couple of full-time jobs.
Michael moves back to New York City and finds himself working for the legendary Danielle Boulou.
I was intimidated moving to the city, and I didn't know many people, and I was lucky to have a job, and I showed up, and I felt like it was an exciting place to be. And this was in 1995, and it was not just an excellent restaurant, and, you know, Danielle has gone on to conquer the world.
Absolutely.
But there was an interesting group of people working in that kitchen at that time, and as there still is today. But like at that particular moment, the 2 year period that I was there, I think that everybody that worked in that kitchen has gone on to either own their own business or run their own kitchen now. And that group stays in contact. It was really great. The setting was new. So there were 80 seats in that dining room, and I had never worked in a restaurant that big, which is funny because on today's terms, that's not really very big. I had never seen a restaurant that moved that fast. I had never seen colors used on a plate that were that loud and bold and exciting and bright. I had never seen a mixing of ingredients and ideas on the plate, which speak to the tradition of French cooking and at the same time, you know, shatter all kinds of rules. And that's why it continues to be very exciting. I mean, technically speaking, they work at the highest level, but then behind the scenes, the restaurant and their cooking is always evolving. And so back then, in my first glimpse of it, it was really cool. I mean, yeah. The dining room had modern art. The people at every level were very serious about what they were doing, and I was pretty psyched to be in New York City. I worked a couple stations. I worked at the Garmacher and I worked at the fish station. So in a 2 year period, I got to see, you know, about half of the kitchen.
After Danielle, Michael moved on to work with Chef Wayne Nish at March. Following his stint at March, Michael was called by restaurateur Danny Meyer to come in as the executive chef at Gramercy Tavern.
The decision to come to that restaurant was not necessarily something that was planned out. It was a bit of an opportunity that came up a bit out of the blue. And while I was, you know, very familiar with Gramercy Tavern and always admired Danny's businesses, the decision to come on there, yeah, was really one of those moments that you don't plan for, and it happened, and I couldn't be more excited. I've been there for 5 years now, and it's like one of the best stages in the world to talk about food and to say something with an opinion about cooking, American cooking.
Chef Michael Anthony continues to dazzle at Gramercy Tavern, where he won this year's James Beard Award for the Best New York Chef.
The full interview can be found on episode 90 of The Main Course on heritageradionetwork.org. This piece was edited by Jack Inslee for Heritage Radio Network and made possible by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of grass-fed and grass-finished beef. For more information on Hearst Ranch, visit hearstranch.com.